Ralph, we get it. But we can't change who we are. Now let's close out with the bad guy affirmation.
I'm bad, and that's good. I will never be good, and that's not bad. There's no one I'd rather be than me.
Welcome to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, the podcast that drunkenly dances on the docks so long as Mads Mikkelsen is dancing there with us. I'm your host, Taylor Cole, and I'm here with Conrado River Beast Falco.
Oh no, it's the river mud quicksand.
Emma Scrambled Eggs Welsh.
I'm here to whisk away the competition.
And Kate Saxophone Solo Reculia.
Who can it be knocking at your door? It's me, and I'm here to knock your trivia block off.
Hello to everybody, and a big thank you for being here. We have arrived at the Season 3 playoffs, where today our three returning victors will face off to determine the winner of the Cellular Division. Helping us out today, keeping scores, and writing so many of those questions is our friend, Scoremaster Dan. Hey there, Dan.
Hi there, Taylor. I want to let everyone know we checked into it, and in many states, it is now legal to gamble on the outcome of the show. We just want to make sure our players don't get in on the action, or they're never going to make the Hall of Fame.
Conrado is widely known as the Pete Rose of pop culture trivia podcasts, so we really got to watch out for him.
Yeah, Conrado hustle over here, absolutely.
And also with us today is production master Dave. Hi, Dave.
I got decaf regular, a few slices of turkey, some tampons, and the Seabiscuit DVD with extras.
Well, and we'll cap that whole order off with a round of My Champion. That's the game where each one of our players has chosen a champion from somewhere in the world of pop culture, but we choose the battle that those champions are fighting. Conrado, who is your champion today?
Bugs Bunny.
Emma?
I'm going with Carmen, aka Machu Picchu from GLOW.
And Kate?
Don Draper.
Three excellent champions locked in. I will serve as the judge and determine the winner, so let's spin that scenario wheel. Today's scenario, which champion is most likely to take down Dracula? Conrado, tell us why Bugs Bunny is going to take down Dracula.
Well, as we all know, Bugs Bunny is practically indestructible. He has faced off against all kinds of enemies, you know, Elmer Fudd, witches, monsters, those basketball playing aliens from Space Jam. So I think that he's got it in him. He's the cleverest dude ever, and he could take on anyone. And if everything else fails, we know from the short Duck Amuck that he has powers to be like a godlike being and mess with Daffy Duck. So,
thank you, Conrado. And Emma, how about Carmen, aka Machu Picchu from GLOW?
I think Carmen would be great at this, actually, because she's, when at least with wrestling, is a visionary. She's always coming up with new moves. And she's also really keen on safety and making sure everyone is well-trained and knows their surroundings and knows what they're going up against. So she'd be fighting Dracula and she'd be getting out on the other side. Plus, because in the third season, they're doing a Vegas show, she's no stranger to late night creatures of the night, whether they be people at the slot machines, people stumbling into the GLOW live show, or vampires. Carmen could take them all because she's got the gorgeous ladies backing her up and she should get the chance to shine and really stake the vamp.
Thank you, Emma. And Kate, how about Mad Men's Don Draper?
So I thought about this for a second, and Don's really, his greatest skill is that he can lie extremely well and he's very persuasive. And I feel like Don could engage a Dracula, a vampire, in that sort of like glamour way. Like he could maybe like say, like, look over there. Don't you have feelings about like when you were a tiny vampire 200 years ago? Look at this carousel of all these pictures, like of the lives you've had. And the vampire would be so distracted. He would not notice Peggy Olson slaying him instantly. So I guess it's not so much Don as Peggy. I should have picked Peggy. This is a lesson.
All right, three great arguments. I'm getting in my earpiece right now information that Bugs Bunny did in fact fight and defeat a vampire, but the fact that that was not specifically called out in the argument makes it not as strong a case for Conrado.
Oh, man.
Meanwhile, I really enjoyed what Emma had to say about Carmen's fighting ability, just the physical combat element, while also managing safety, definitely makes a strong case. but I need to admit, I came into this a little bit biased against Don Draper. Of those three, he seemed like the least likely to beat Dracula. But when you talk about the sort of emotional devastation that every one of his sentences and glares can have, even a heartless or non-beating hearted creature like Dracula is not going to be immune to his charms and or devastation. So I think winner is Kate and Don Draper.
Wow, I've never been so proud, really.
Kate, yay, that means you get a crack at the half point.
Awesome.
If you get this question right, you will have a half point more than either of your fellow competitors, possibly breaking a tie before it even happens. Your half point question is, for his performance in the 1994 film Ed Wood, Martin Landau won an Oscar for playing this real-life actor, himself famous for playing Dracula.
Bela Lugosi?
That is correct. You have won the half point, and you'll go first in round one, entitled More Anything, More Everything. As Seinfeld once told us, more anything, more everything. Why have one known character when you can have them all? In this game, I'll tell you about a property that puts a bunch of disparate characters together, and you'll have to identify the property. So if I told you about a 2019 movie that featured Captain America, the Hulk, Iron Man, and dozens of other superheroes in a time-traveling plot to stop a purple guy, you'd know that I was talking about
Avengers Endgame.
Avengers Endgame. That answer would get you 10 points. And if you didn't quite have it, I can give you a hint telling you a bit more about the property in question, but then a correct answer is only worth 5 points. Afterwards, I'll ask you a quick multiple choice question about the casting in the property, and that's worth another 5 points. Our My Champion winner, Kate, is going to go first. From 1988, tons of animated characters, including Donald Duck, Daffy Duck, Bugs Bunny, Betty Boop, and Snow White.
So that would be Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Yes, for 10 points. Who provided Jessica Rabbit's uncredited voice? Was it Amy Irving, Kathleen Turner, or Morgan Fairchild?
That was Kathleen Turner.
Yes, for another 5. For Conrado, from the year 2012, just slightly changed version of the characters from Hellraiser, Aliens, Evil Dead, The Ring, and of course, the Reavers from Firefly.
That's a lot of monsters and stuff. Is this The Cabin in the Woods?
Yes, written by Joss Whedon, hence a Reaver appearance. Now, in Cabin in the Woods, who plays the director of the center that set up all the teens to be slaughtered? Is it Jamie Lee Curtis, Janet Leigh, or Sigourney Weaver?
I'm pretty sure it's Sigourney Weaver.
Yes, in a last-minute cameo. For Emma, from the year 2018, we've got RoboCop, Marvin the Martian, Jason Voorhees, Duke Nukem, Hello Kitty, Ed 209, Conan, and others mixed together in a super problematic plot.
Is this Ready Player One?
Yes. Now, who plays the curator in that movie? Is it Jeff Bridges, Harry Knowles, or Simon Pegg?
Is it Simon Pegg based on absolutely nothing?
Yes, that is correct. For Kate, from the year 2020, we've got Scooby-Doo, Captain Caveman, The Blue Falcon, Simon Cowell, and Ira Glass.
I mean, most of 2020 is just a blur, friends. So something that, wait, Scooby-Doo, Ira Glass, so NPR, cartoons. Who are the other people?
Captain Caveman, The Blue Falcon, Simon Cowell.
Wow. The Masked Singer? I don't know. I have no idea.
I love that answer.
Right?
That is the straight-to-HBO Max movie Scoob! Exclamation mark.
Well, that's a choice.
You still get the follow-up, Kate, though. In Scoob, who voices the villainous Dick Dastardly? Is it Gary Oldman, Jason Isaacs, or Kenneth Branagh?
I really want it to be Kenneth Branagh. Nope.
Sadly, no. Not diving into the river of ham. It is Jason Isaacs.
That is my favorite Billy Joel album, by the way. River of Ham.
For Conrado.
Oh, sorry. I don't want you to have to pay for that.
for Conrado from the year 2011. We've got not terribly musically inclined TV versions of Snow White, Aladdin, Frankenstein, Alice in Wonderland, Captain Hook, and a whole mess of characters from Disney movies.
Can I get a hint?
Yes. It's an ABC TV series that ran from 2011 to 2018 that grew to have many more Disney characters as it went on.
Oh, I understand. So for a moment, I thought it was just movies. So this is that show on ABC that was called Once Upon a Time.
Yes, for 5 more points. Conrado, who plays Victor Frankenstein on the show? Is it David Anders, Greg Grunberg, or Kevin Weissman?
I have no idea who any of these people are. I'm very sorry to these men. Could you repeat their name?
David Anders, Greg Grunberg, or Kevin Weissman?
Let's go with Kevin.
No. Does anyone know what all three of those actors have in common?
Were they on Alias?
Yes, they are all Alias alums. David Anders, who played Sark on Alias, also plays Frankenstein on Once Upon a Time. Next for Emma, from the year 2003. Characters including Tom Sawyer, Captain Nemo, Dr. Jekyll, and someone who seems to be Sherlock Holmes's brother, Mycroft.
I am happy I got this because I actually am one of the people who love this movie. This is The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, and I will not apologize for it.
Yes, that is correct. Who played colonialist explorer Alan Quartermain in that movie? Was it Pierce Brosnan, Sean Connery, or Timothy Dalton?
Sean Connery, and what a finale to that career.
For Kate, from the year 1986, we have musically inclined versions of Cinderella, Jack with His Beanstalk, Rapunzel, Little Red Riding Hood, Sleeping Beauty, and other fable characters.
1986. Okay, so this feels very much like the cast of Into the Woods. Is this like the PBS version of Into the Woods?
Ah! Yes, Into the Woods. Woo-hoo! The Stephen Sondheim, James Lapine musical. Now, Kate, who plays the big bad wolf in the movie version of Into the Woods? Is it Johnny Depp, Keanu Reeves, or Orlando Bloom?
I feel compelled to say I am a Keanu Reeves stan until the day I die, but I know it's Johnny Depp.
Taking all the subtext out of that number and just making it text.
Yep.
And it's gross.
Woof.
Ah! Oh!
I wasn't, but thank you.
All right, for Conrado from the year 2017, we've got animated versions of The Joker, Bane, The Wicked Witch of the West, Saruman, a bunch of Daleks, among others.
Oh, this would be the Lego Batman movie.
Yes, absolutely correct. Now, in the Lego Batman movie, who voiced Two-Face? Was it Billy Dee Williams, Tommy Lee Jones, or Zach Galifianakis?
I really hope it was Billy Dee Williams, so I'm going to say Billy Dee Williams.
Nice. Yes, reprising his role as Harvey Dent from Batman 1989. Next for Emma from the year 2015. We've got lots of characters, including the son of Cruella de Vil, Cinderella's son, Chad Charming, and Jafar from Aladdin, played by Maz Jobrani.
I think that this is Descendants from Disney?
Yes. Not the George Clooney in Hawaii movie, the other one. Now, Emma, who plays the evil Maleficent in Descendants? Is it Audra McDonald, Idina Menzel, or Kristen Chenoweth?
Kristen Chenoweth.
Yes, and off another 5 points for Emma, that'll take us into our first score break from Scoremaster Dan.
Boy, I really thought we were going to get some people on that Descendants question, given that all of our players are legally required to be more than 13 years old.
I've seen all three of them.
Yeah.
Still, most of the way through round one, Emma is in the lead. She has 45 points and is perfect so far in this game. And of course, whenever I say that, that is when the person starts to screw up afterwards, so good luck. Conrado has 35, and Kate is in third place, but very close behind. She has 30 points and the half point.
Still anyone's game, kicking it back to Kate. Your next project is from the year 2012, with Zangief and other Street Fighter characters, Sonic the Hedgehog, Pac-Man and the Ghost Monsters, Q-Bert, and too many others to name.
All right, I feel like this is that Adam Sandler movie where every game was becoming a thing and like in the real world. And oh my God, what is that movie called? It's not Ready Player One, because that's another movie that was already an answer. Can I have a hint?
A 2012 animated feature that's had a more princess-oriented sequel.
Oh. Oh, Wreck-It Ralph.
Ralph, we get it. But we can't change who we are.
Yes, Disney's Wreck-It Ralph. Now, Kate, who voices Ralph's nemesis, Fix-It Felix? Is it Scott Adsit, Jack McBrayer, or Judah Friedlander?
Jack McBrayer.
Kenneth the Page himself, Jack McBrayer. For Conrado from the year 2000, musically inclined versions of Horton the Elephant, The Grinch, The Cat in the Hat, Yertle the Turtle, among other kids' book characters.
This is a Seussical.
Seussical the Musical. Well done. Who of the following took a turn as the Cat in the Hat on Broadway? Was it Joy Behar, Ellen DeGeneres, or Rosie O'Donnell?
I want to say Rosie O'Donnell, given her love for musicals.
Great guess for another 5 points. And for Emma, from the year 1987. We've got Frankenstein's monster, Dracula, a gill man, a mummy, and a wolf man who, as it turns out, has nards.
Oh, the gleeful giggling makes me think other people know what this is.
I'm just laughing at the word nards. I'm gonna be honest with you.
I mean, that's my sense of humor as well. Okay, let me think about this. Actually, I'm just going to say I don't know right now, so can I get a hint?
It's a 1987 Shane Black movie that's ostensibly for kids, but certainly doesn't seem that way now.
Okay, Shane Black. Guessing it's not Predator related. And those are unfortunately the only things that I know of him. So, sorry, can you tell me the characters that were in it one more time?
Frankenstein's monster, Dracula, a gill man, a mummy, and a wolf man who, as it turns out, has nards.
Still funny.
I'm really feeling that jinx from the score break. I'm going to have to pass, unfortunately.
Kate?
The Monster Squad?
Yes, Monster Squad.
Although I have to say, Emma, you've stumbled across what should be the next Predator movie, which is Predator is hunting all of those characters.
It would really be an improvement for the franchise.
Universal could finally figure out a way to make that whole monster cinematic universe work, and it is Predators hunting them all.
All right, Emma, we also have a follow-up. Who puts on green paint to play Frankenstein's monster in Monster Squad? Is it Charles Dance, Tom Noonan, or Peter Weller?
Charles Dance.
Oh, I wish. Kate?
Tom Noonan.
Manhunter's own Tom Noonan. All right, for Kate, from the year 2002, we have characters from Disney, Pixar, and the Final Fantasy video games using giant keys and other weapons to fight villains like Maleficent, Captain Hook, and Pete. You know Pete, the dog-looking guy from the Mickey Mouse cartoons?
Huh. What year is this again?
2002.
Can I have a hint?
It's a video game series that's had at least 9 installments since 2002, with sequels coming as recently as 2019.
Kingdom Hearts.
Yes.
Wow, I know nothing about video games.
Well, you know one thing.
I know one thing.
Who voices the lead character Sora in the U.S. releases of Kingdom Hearts? Is it Jonathan Lipnicki, Haley Joel Osment, or Jonathan Taylor Thomas?
It's got to be Haley Joel. He was riding high, Dawn of the Millennium.
Absolutely correct. Haley Joel as Sora. For Conrado from the year 2012, we've got Mrs. Butterworth, Charlie Tuna, Chef Boyardee, and Twinkie the Kid, among others, though Count Chocula and Chester Cheetah were pulled out at the last minute.
If this is correct, it's really mean of you guys. Is this crappy direct-to-DVD movie called Food Fight?
Wow.
Whoa.
Amazing.
Wow. Witness the master.
Oh, well, let's see how much more you know about Food Fight, Conrado. Who voiced the legally not Count Chocula character, Vlad Chocul? Is it Christopher Guest, Larry Miller, or Peter Sagal?
Yeah, I'm a real expert on this subject. I'm going to say Larry Miller. Oh, I guess I am an expert.
For the full 15. Next up, back to Emma. From the year 1976, we have spoof versions of Miss Marple, Hercule Poirot, Nick and Nora Charles, Sam Spade, and Charlie Chan, all played for laughs trying to solve a mystery.
Oh, I have two ideas that I'm bouncing back and forth in my head, so I will take the hint, hopefully just to cement this a little bit.
A 1976 Neil Simon movie starring, among others, Truman Capote.
Whoa, that wasn't a hint, but that was a cool fun fact.
It's a real swerve.
Is this the, like, not Casino Royale, Casino Royale? No.
Kate?
Is it Murder by Death?
Yes, Murder by Death.
Real weird one from the vaults.
Gotta go digging for that.
Emma, you still get a crack at the follow-up. Who plays the hard-boiled Sam Spade knockoff, Sam Diamond? Is it John Cassavetes, Robert Culp, or Peter Falk?
I mean, I would love for it to be Peter Falk, and I feel like it isn't. Now I've spoken that, and now I am afraid. So I'm going to say John Cassavetes? No!
It's Peter Falk.
Dang it!
Follow
Trust
your
instincts. Beans.
Well, that's going to finish us up for round one. Up next, the scores from Dan, and on to round two.
Going to round two, it's time for the Bosch score break, brought to you by the Bosch Booster Benevolent Society. If you already pay for Amazon Prime, if you feel like watching a perfectly acceptable police procedural with a compelling star and solid supporting cast, and you've already watched The Closure of Major Crimes, you could do worse than Bosch. Can we give a higher recommendation than You Could Do Worse Than Bosch? At this point, Conrado is in the lead with 65 points. Kate is nipping at his heels with 50 points and the half point. Emma is in third place with 45, but that means she'll get to go first in round two.
Emma, you're also going to get a chance to make up some ground with the Threequalizer. I'll ask you a question that has three possible answers, and you'll have three guesses to match as many of them as you can. 10 points for each match you get. Your Threequalizer question is... For his first three feature films, director Mike Nichols later recorded audio commentary tracks alongside director Steven Soderbergh. One is based on an Edward Albee play, one on a Charles Webb novella, and one on a Joseph Heller novel. Name those three Mike Nichols movies.
I'm going to say The Graduate, Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, and I unfortunately... do not know the third one, and all other Mike Nichols movies have left my brain, so I'm just going to keep talking in the hopes that a third one will come out, but it is not happening. Pass.
Yeah, you're really damned if you do, damned if you don't with this one.
Dave, of course, is alluding to the fact that that third movie is Catch 22, based on that Joseph Heller novel, recently remade by George Clooney for Hulu.
That tracks.
Before we get into round two, though, we're going to meet our players and get to know them a little bit better. Conrado, clearly a big Looney Tunes fan after choosing Bugs Bunny as his champion for today. With Space Jam 2 on the horizon, is there any other sort of live-action Looney Tunes that aren't Space Jam that you think need some better attention, Conrado?
Yes, Taylor, thank you for bringing up this subject that is so important to me and my family. So we are all sick and tired of all these 90s kids saying that Space Jam is so good when we all know that it's nothing but a long commercial. So what I want to propose is that we should all accept that Looney Tunes Back in Action from 2003 is the superior movie. Yes, it is messy. Yes, it is... very loud, and it doesn't always make sense, but so are the Looney Tunes cartoons from the classic era, and I think that shines through in director Joe Dante's love for the characters.
Thank you, Conrado. Kate, pivoting to music to learn a little bit more about you. If you were an MLB player, what would your up-to-bat song be?
So in the unbelievably unlikely scenario that I was playing Major League Baseball and that they were calling me up to bat, it would be a little bit of an exhibition game. So the first song that came to mind was Starships, We Built the City on Rock and Roll, because that is a song that I took into my soul as probably a seven-year-old, which is the only time that song can like pass through your soul without a filter of what is this? So I love it unreservedly. It feels like a big, hopeful, like you're gonna hit that ball all the way. I don't even know what you do in baseball. Like it's a big mood, but also anything by Billy Joel. Anything by Billy Joel.
Fantastic choices. Now, Emma, this season we've been asking a lot of our players about their pop culture goals for the year 2021. What's yours and how's it going so far?
My goal started, well, I've always been kind of smug about it because I always try to make an effort to watch movies directed by women, written by women, created by women. And I've always felt very confident in my ability to do that. And then last year was the first year I kept track of all the movies I watched. And I realized I was not nearly as close to like a 50-50 split as I thought I was. This year, I am doing better. I checked this morning in case this was my question you brought up. And I'm at like a 40%. But it's been hampered by my incessant need to rewatch all of the Mission Impossible movies. But I did recently also rewatch Birds of Prey, which makes everything better. So thanks, Kathy Ann.
Thank you, Emma. And that's going to take us right into round two, which is entitled Way Too Extra Extras. Here at the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show, we love ourselves some physical media. Yeah, the video quality's better, but we're really here for all the bonus features. In this game, I'll describe up to three pieces of bonus material from a movie's home release one at a time. The sooner you guess the movie title correctly, the more points you'll get. Today, all the movies are ones that have won the Best Picture Oscar since the year 2000. For instance, if I said that the disc included a filmed masterclass from the 2019 Lumiere Film Festival featuring Korean director Bong Joon-ho, you know that that was the movie...
Parasite.
Parasite. 30 points for getting it after just the first clue, with 10 fewer points after each additional clue you ask for. But use your guess wisely, because you only get one. We'll start this round with Emma. What movie's DVD includes a spotlight feature on the Weta Workshop?
The what kind of workshop?
WETA, W-E-T-A.
That sounds like it stands for something, but I'm not sure what yet. So can I take the hint?
It also includes a retrospective documentary entitled The Passing of an Age.
Okay. I've got one idea in my head, but I'm a very cautious person. This is why I can never go to Vegas. Can I get the next hint, please?
It also has a video clip entitled J.R.R. Tolkien, The Legacy of Middle-Earth.
Oh, so that would be The Return of the King. Lord of the Rings, The Return of the King.
Yes, with the Weta Workshop being Peter Jackson's big technical sub-corporation that he operates in New Zealand.
I have friends who are very disappointed that I didn't get us on the first try now.
Next up for Kate, which Best Picture winner has a visual aid entitled The Diary of a Country Sheriff?
I'm going to try to get big money. Is it No Country for Old Men?
Yes, for the full 30 points. Next up for Conrado, which one has a featurette entitled Anatomy of a Scene, : The Dance?
Anatomy of a Scene, : The Dance. So there's been dancing in a few Best Picture winners since 2000. So I think I'm going to get this second hint just to be narrowed down.
Another featurette entitled A Fairy Tale for Troubled Times.
Fairy Tale for Troubled Times. This sounds to me like it's The Shape of Water.
Guillermo del Toro's The Shape of Water. All right, for Emma, it has a group discussion about gangster movies called Crossing Criminal Cultures.
Gangster movies since the year 2000 that won Best Picture. Okay, this is tricky because the first ones that come to mind are all either not winners or not from the past 21 years. Can I get the hint, please?
It also has a short documentary entitled Stranger Than Fiction, The True Story of Whitey Bulger.
Who is Whitey Bulger? I feel like Johnny Depp played him in something that didn't do well. Okay. The Departed.
Please say it correctly.
The Departed.
There it is. For 10 points.
The Boston shirt. Yeah. I should have had that sooner, too.
Jack Nicholson's character, Frank Costello, based on Whitey Bulger. The movie with Johnny Depp you're thinking of is Black Mass, where he plays Whitey Bulger.
There was just pieces of things floating in my brain. I had sounds.
Next up for Kate, what Best Picture winner's DVD has a one-of-a-kind production diary by actor Spencer Treat Clark?
Can I have the hint? A hint.
Also has deleted scenes with titles like Battle Aftermath, The Execution, and Fed to the Lions.
I really should know this. Can I have another hint?
A commentary track by director Ridley Scott. I guess they couldn't get Russell Crowe.
Ah, Gladiator.
Gladiator.
For 10 points, Gladiator.
I forget that happened in this century.
It's the oldest one, technically.
Was that 2000?
For this game. Yeah, released in 2000. Okay. Next up for Conrado, a featurette entitled The Making of an American Romance.
Oh, boy. Well, this could be anything. An American romance. Romance movies that have won. I think I'm going to take the second hint.
A five-minute short entitled Hollywood as a Character, which looks at the real-life Los Angeles locations used in the film.
So I can think of two Hollywood-related movies that have won, so I really hope this is La La... No! La La did not win. It's The Artist.
That was the most meta last-second switch from La La Land I've ever heard.
I know, when you said there was two, I was like, don't do it. Don't do it.
Getting the wrong Best Picture is my bed noir in this game.
That's true. It happens every time. All right, back to Emma. This DVD has cast and crew interviews about their perspective on bringing Solomon's story to the screen.
Thinking first name, thinking last name, thinking not Solomon Grundy. I'll take the hint.
It also has a feature on the music featuring an interview with composer Hans Zimmer.
It's not Inception. It's not other things. Oh, no. Solomon. One more hint. Let's just roll through it.
A short entitled The Team, in which director Steve McQueen admires the film's production designer's dedication to traveling to real-life plantations to obtain accurate soil samples.
This is 12 Years a Slave.
Yes, for 10 points. For Kate, a roundtable discussion with real people portrayed in the movie called Uncovering the Truth.
Is it Spotlight?
Big 30 points for Kate.
I lived in Boston for 11 years.
Next up for Conrado, a set of interviews with the cast entitled Ensemble of Emotion.
Ensemble of Emotion. Ensemble? Oh, wait, is this Crash?
Sadly, no. That is going to be Moonlight. And that's going to take us into our next score update from Scoremaster Dan.
I just do want to point out that Conrado did think that La La Land had won, but apparently forgot about Moonlight, which, you know, seems apropos. At this point in the game, Emma's got 95 points. Conrado is just a little bit ahead with 105. Right now, Kate is in the lead. She has 120 points and the half point.
Next up for Emma, which post-2000 Best Picture winner's DVD has a deleted scene entitled Class?
You picked a word that has multiple meanings. We're talking classes in school, classes in being real classy, a class all unto yourself. I'll take a hint for a little more specificity.
Most of the extras for this movie are exclusive to a later released Blu-ray dubbed the Razzle Dazzle Edition.
Kate looks so delighted right now. The Razzle Dazzle Edition. Okay. Is this Chicago?
Yes, with Class being a number from the stage show that did not make it to the movie.
I'm sorry about my trivia faces.
No, it's good. I frankly enjoy that energy.
Okay, good, good. I'm like,
it will spur me on.
Kate, next for you, a featurette entitled Born to Fight.
Million Dollar Baby?
Nice. For Conrado, we have an unenlightening commentary track featuring producer Christian Coulson and co-writer Simon Beaufoy, where they talk about adapting the novel Q&A.
Pretty sure this is Slumdog Millionaire.
Correct. Everyone's final DVD extra challenge, starting with Emma. We have a making-of featurette entitled Behind Metal and Glass.
Behind Metal and Glass. Okay. Hint, please.
A music video for In the Deep by Bird York.
Metal, glass, deep, words, sounds, thoughts. I'm trying to talk through my answers. I hope you're all enjoying this. I'm can't think of anything now except for Crash, so I'll say Crash.
Yes, for 20 points. Released in the year 2005, that is Crash. And for Kate, we have a short entitled An Unforgettable Friendship.
Can I have a hint, please?
A look at the movie's two lead actors entitled Virtuoso Performances, which includes praise from the director of Dumb and Dumber.
Huh, so that would be the Farrellys or the directors, but someone who would have worked with... I need another hint, please.
This DVD also has 4 minutes of the cast attempting to explain the film's title while ruminating on racial segregation in the Deep South.
Green Book.
For 10 points, Green Book. And next up for Conrado, a documentary short entitled An Inspirational Story of an Unlikely Friendship.
Oh, boy. An inspirational story of an unlikely friendship. What is left of the Best Picture winners? I'm no longer in the lead, so I feel like I have to go for the big bucks. I'm going to say The King's Speech.
Go big or go home. Damn. The King's Speech. Well done, Conrado.
Damn. Ooh, sorry.
Well, that'll do it for round two. Up next, the scores from Dan and on to our final round. Before we get to our final round of play, it's time for the home version. Correctly guess the answer to Dan's pop culture riddle by the time next week's episode drops online, and you could win the chance to name a score break on a future episode. Dan?
I have a large population, and yet there are none. A local man keeps all his children from fun. This town might succumb to a growing world power, but listen for songs of a little white flower.
Think you know the answer? Find the page for this episode at usaquizshow.com and show off that pop culture knowledge. Thanks for that riddle, Dan. Let's hear the scores.
Going to round three, it's time for the Dermot Mulroney and Dylan McDermott Face Blindness Foundation score break. The Dermot Mulroney and Dylan McDermott Face Blindness Foundation. Come on, people, they don't even look that much alike. Going into round three, Conrado is in the lead with 165 points. Kate is as close as she could possibly be with 160 points and the half point. Emma is only a little behind with 135 points, so she's going to get to go first in round three.
And it's still anybody's game as we get into the lightning round. Players have their choice of categories and then have 90 seconds to answer as many questions in that category as possible. 10 points for each correct answer you can provide. Today's categories are Blood in the Water, It's the Same Old Song, Burning Down the House of Mouse, and She's Married to Shakespeare. Now, these topics aren't 100% clear from their names alone, so pick the thing you think you're going to do the best on, or keep something easy away from one of your fellow competitors. Emma, in third place, you get to choose first. Your categories are Blood in the Water, It's the Same Old Song, Burning Down the House of Mouse, and She's Married to Shakespeare.
I have a few ideas about what those might be, but I feel pretty confident in She's Married to Shakespeare, so I'll go with that one. I'm hoping it's about my beloved Anne Hathaway.
You are absolutely correct. Okay. While Shakespeare's wife was named Anne Hathaway, we're talking about the modern-day movie star Anne Hathaway.
Don't want to let you down, Annie.
90 seconds on the clock. Timer starts when I finish reading the first question. Emma, are you ready?
Yes.
She played the princess of this fictional country in The Princess Diaries.
Genovia.
Robert De Niro is her intern in the final film by this director.
Nancy Myers.
She herself interns for Runway Magazine in this movie.
The Devil Wears Prada.
On Lip Sync Battle, she toppled this Miley Cyrus song.
Wrecking Ball.
She picked up an Oscar for playing this Les Mis character.
Fantine.
Jason Sudeikis plays her kaiju counterpart in this comedy.
Colossal.
She top-lined this remake of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
The Hustle.
She negotiates online dating with bipolar disorder in an episode of this anthology series.
Modern Love.
Before Love and Other Drugs, she shared the screen with Jake Gyllenhaal in this Western.
City Slickers 2.
Brokeback Mountain.
Oh my God.
Her Emmy Award was for voicing a character on this Fox animated series.
Pass.
In Get Smart, she plays the agent with this number.
Pass.
On Netflix, she starred in The Last Thing He Wanted, adapted from this author.
Joan Didion.
She co-hosted the Academy Awards with him in 2011.
James Franco.
In Rachel Getting Married, she's not Rachel, but this actress is...
Rosemary DeWitt.
She cameos in the movie within a movie in this Joseph Gordon-Levitt vehicle.
Don John.
In Ella Enchanted, she performs this Queen song.
Somebody to Love.
Somebody to Love. Ooh. Right at the buzzer.
Jake Gyllenhaal Western, and I thought City Slickers too. Even though I watched Brokeback Mountain like a week ago. Oh God. Okay.
That was amazing.
I love her.
All right, Dan, let's hear the Emma report.
Boy, that was quite a round. We only had two passes to go over. She won an Emmy Award for voicing a character on The Simpsons, and in Get Smart, she was Agent 99. Emma, that was an amazing round. You got 13 correct answers. That means you now have 265 points.
Amazing.
And Kate is going to have quite a round in order to move into first. She's going to need 11 correct answers if she wants to take the lead.
Whew, all right.
All right, Kate, your remaining category options are Blood in the Water, It's the Same Old Song, and Burning Down the House of Mouse.
I am going to go with Burning Down the House of Mouse. I never tried to. In the same way that I know all the lyrics to Phantom of the Opera without trying, I know a lot about Disney without trying. All right, let's do it. And I imagine it has something to do with Disney.
It actually has nothing to do with Disney.
Okay.
The House of Mouse is indeed the Walt Disney Company, in some ways best known for their animated musicals. So this round is about animated musicals not made by the Walt Disney Company.
All right, okay.
90 seconds on the clock. Kate, are you ready?
As I'll ever be. Let's do it.
Wacko's Wish is a big screen companion to this TV series.
The Animaniacs.
This DreamWorks musical adapts the biblical book of Exodus.
Prince of Egypt.
Barry Manilow wrote songs for this Antarctic animated musical.
Ice Age.
Pebble and the Penguin. The same year as Aladdin, this actor voiced Batty in Fern Gully.
Robin Williams.
A 1994 movie tells the story of one of these creatures in Central Park.
A gnome.
Troll. This SNL star voices multiple characters in Eight Crazy Nights.
Adam Sandler.
Christopher Lloyd voices this villainous Russian figure in Anastasia.
Rasputin.
Charlie Sheen replaces Burt Reynolds in the sequel to this K-9 musical.
All Dogs Go to Heaven.
This 2011 Brazil-set parrot movie nabbed a Best Song Oscar nomination.
Rio.
The Swan Princess adapts the ballet Swan Lake by this Russian composer.
Tchaikovsky.
This Spielberg-produced mousy movie outgrossed Disney's The Great Mouse Detective.
An American Tale.
This TV show's movie musical was bigger, longer, and uncut.
South Park.
In The Lego Movie 2, Queen Whatever Wanabi gets two songs performed by this comedian.
Tiffany Haddish.
This Arthurian adaptation's biggest legacy is Andrea Bocelli's version of The Prayer.
Camelot?
Quest for Camelot. Very close at the buzzer. All right, Dan, let's hear the Kate report.
All right, we have no passes to go through. Now, you might remember I said that Kate needed to get 11 questions correct to move into first place. She got 11 questions correct. We have a ball game on our hands. Kate has 270 points and the half point, beating out Emma right now by just 5.5 points.
That was incredible to watch.
Conrado, you have quite a task ahead of you. If you want to pull in the lead, you're going to need to get 11 questions correct in your round as well.
Oh, great.
All right, Conrado, two category options remain. They are Blood in the Water and It's the Same Old Song.
I have no idea what either of those will be, but I'm going to go with The Same Old Song.
If you had to take a guess, anything you think this might be about?
Honestly, no idea.
The Same Old Song was a hit on Motown Records, so this round is all about the music, artists, and history of Motown Records.
All right, nice to see you, everybody. I'm going to just hop off the call.
You never know, Conrado. All right, 90 seconds on the clock. Are you ready?
Sure.
A 2013 lawsuit alleged the writers of this song plagiarized Marvin Gaye's Got to Give It Up.
Blurred Lines.
Motown's headquarters moved from Detroit to this city in 1967.
Pass.
Marvin Gaye duets with her on Ain't No Mountain High Enough.
Tammy Terrell.
This producer founded the Motown record label.
Barry Gordy.
The Temptations reportedly felt bad about dissing their dads on this track.
Papa Was a Rolling Stone?
According to Edwin Starr, war is good for this.
Absolutely nothing.
Aside from The Tracks of My Tears, this is the other Smokey Robinson hit with tears in the title.
Tears of a Clown.
This girl group was first known as the Primettes.
The Supremes?
Motown released The Return of Bruno, the debut album of this movie star.
Bruce Willis.
Motown's most recent number one single, Four Seasons of Loneliness, was recorded by this Philadelphia group.
Pass.
Michael Jackson's song Ben was the theme for the sequel to this horror film.
I know it's the rad one. I don't know. Pass.
Stevie Wonder recorded a 1976 tribute to this jazz musician.
Pass.
This song by Mary Wells was the first Billboard Hot 100 number one single for Motown.
Pass.
Before his solo career, Lionel Richie sang with this group.
Pass.
All right, Dan, let's hear the Conrado report.
Let's go through the passes first. Motown's headquarters moved from Detroit to Los Angeles. Four Seasons of Loneliness was a hit by Boys to Men. The rat movie Conrado was trying to think of was Willard. Stevie Wonder recorded a 1976 tribute to Duke Ellington. The Mary Wells song, that was a Billboard Hot 100 hit, was My Guy. And Lionel Richie sang with the Commodores before his solo career. Conrado had a very good round. 8 questions would normally be enough to take it, but was not enough today. He winds up with 245 points. So our final scores are Conrado with 245, Emma with 265, and our winner today, it's Kate with 270 points and the half point.
Woo, congratulations, Woo. Kate. What a match.
Yes, good job.
Well done, everybody.
Incredible. All around. Congratulations, Kate. But sadly, it is time to say goodbye to Conrado and Emma. Guys, those scores in any other game could be winning scores. Incredibly competitive match today. It was a pleasure to play with both of you. In the meantime, Conrado, where can our listeners find more of you online?
If you like listening to me, you could listen to my podcast, which is called Foreign Invader. And it is a podcast about pop culture from not the United States.
Fantastic. And Emma, where can our listeners hear more of you?
I also have a podcast that I do with my best friend called Have You Heard Of, where we introduce each other, aka force each other, to finally watch one another's favorite things. So I'm going to make her watch the Mission Impossible movies, and we'll go from there.
Fantastic. But those big congratulations today are going to go to Kate. Kate, you're going to be moving on to the Season 3 Championship Match.
What?
Yay.
In the meantime, is there anything you're going to be watching, listening to, reading, catching up on?
I feel like I should probably look at some video games because I feel like that's going to be a thing.
And anything you'd like to plug in the meantime?
Yes. So I am a novelist. You can buy my books at any fine independent bookshop that you enjoy going to. And I'm also a panelist on the Great Pop Culture Debate podcast, which is dropping its third season in March 2020.
And listeners, you can also follow Kate as the saxophone emoji on our Season 3 bracket. Well, that'll wrap it up for this week. Be sure to join us next week as we continue the playoffs with the Appellate Division, with returning players Will Red Alert Cordonies, Trip the Mole Payne, and Randy Monkey Man Perry. I've been your host, Taylor Cole, and on behalf of Scoremaster Dan and Production Master Dave, thank you for listening to the Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show. Hey, listeners, remember the riddle from before round three? If you know the answer, submit the answer via the link in your show notes or on the page for this episode on our website, usaquizshow.com. Once you're there, check out all the past season episodes and brackets, apply to be a contestant on a future season, and check out all the bonus content on our Patreon.
You can find us at USA Quiz Show on both Instagram and Twitter.
The Great American Pop Culture Quiz Show is made in the USA, as is on the tin. We're not doing this somewhere else. It's in America. It is made by yours truly, David T. Cole, our host, Taylor S. Cole, and our squiz. That's the way it is now. It's our Squizmaster, Dan Cassino.
Don't forget to squizscribe, and we'll see you next week.
Squizmaster is my favorite SpongeBob character.